All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we are very happy to have Patricia Ranald, who is the convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network. And so we'll get to have a bit of a discussion with Patricia about, you know, the kind of some of the issues related to global access to vaccines and, I guess, the current situation with intellectual property rights. So good morning, Patricia. Oh, sorry. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning.
Yeah, I made a mistake. I accidentally forgot to not press one button. So I was going to pass it on to Ari to, who's the co-presenter, sort of ask the kind of first question to start the discussion.
Yeah. Hi, Patricia. So I guess first, what's the state in terms of the kind of fight with the WTO? The World Trade Organization about putting a waiver on the intellectual property rights or the copyright patents, of the various vaccines. What's the status of that kind of ongoing problem?
Well, over a year since South Africa and India first proposed that there should be a waiver on the 20-year monopoly that pharmaceutical companies have on vaccines it should be a temporary waiver for the period of the pandemic. And the reason for this is that under the current system, there's half a dozen companies that absolutely control the price and quantity of vaccines, and they negotiate with governments. And what they've been doing is the rich countries are first in line and poor countries are simply not getting access to vaccines. If you look at it globally, countries like Australia have 80% of their population vaccinated and or more. And in many developing countries, or low-income countries, the average is more like 7 to 8%, and in some countries it's as low as 1 and 2%. So we really have an extreme inequality. Now, the debate... A more detailed proposal was put forward in June, and the debate has been going on since then in the WTO about changing these rules. Over 100 countries support the change. Australia says it supports it. The US says it supports it. But the holdouts are the EU, Switzerland, the UK, and a couple of other countries where there are large pharmaceutical companies that have lobbied their governments to say no. And the WTO works on consensus. So it's those countries that are really blocking this waiver. If the waiver goes through, what can happen is that you can have vastly increased manufacturing of the quantities of the vaccine that are really needed, and you could have them in regional areas. Countries like India and South Africa already produce generic medicines, so they're capable of quickly being able to produce many more millions and billions of vaccines that are now currently being produced and distributing them on a more equitable basis.
Yeah.
So we've been campaigning and there's been a very broad campaign across the globe, as I said, including governments like Australia and the US have come out and said we support this, but it still hasn't happened.
Mm. Yeah. And as you just mentioned, a lot of the holdout countries are holding out because of lobbying from the large pharmaceutical companies. And in an article for Michael West Media, on November 30th, you made the point that Pfizer has announced a projected $36 billion in vaccine revenue. That's U.S. dollars. And so it is... it's one of those things that's like, it's very blatantly obvious that the reason that they want to avoid having the waiver, of course, is the profit motive. Whereas the problem, as we keep seeing with Delta and now Omicron variants, is that the longer that big populations go unvaccinated, the the more possibility there is for these sorts of mutations and stuff to happen. So as you pointed out in your article, in fact, that the meeting with the WTO was ironically postponed because of the Omicron variant, which is...
That's right.
Yeah. And so can you talk to basically that kind of contradiction between the profit motive and the fact that the longer that these things, the longer that the waiver is withheld, the more chance there is of more variants and more vaccine-resistant variants especially?
I mean, the World Health Organization said from the beginning of the pandemic that these vaccines and other treatments for the pandemic should be treated as global public goods, and the knowledge to make them should be shared. And that is the attitude of the pharmaceutical companies is clearly the opposite of that. They want to keep the monopoly. And it's worth noting that $36 billion US dollars is larger than the government budgets of many developing countries. So it really is a situation that's becoming obscene in terms of profits versus profits being made while millions of people are dying and more more infectious or worse variants of the of the virus develop. What's happening at the moment after the postponement of the WTO meeting? That was an in-person meeting. That's why it was postponed. But there are continuing online meetings, which have been going on all along, specifically to discuss this particular the waiver proposal. The pressure has been growing. With the Omicron variant, it makes it even more urgent because, for instance, companies like Pfizer and governments are deciding now that, or recommending now that, everyone have a third shot to deal with the Omicron variant. And, of course, that means the global supply of vaccines is even more in crisis. The pharmaceutical companies have their own arguments. They claim that they can meet global demand, but clearly they haven't been.
Yeah.
There is a global donation scheme called COVAX, which countries are meant to donate vaccines to, but that hasn't been working. It had a target of 2 billion vaccines by the end of this year. It hasn't met that target. It's it's only distributed less than 1 billion. And the World Health Organization is saying that their target for this year was 40% of the global population being vaccinated. We're nowhere near that, and especially in developing countries. But even the total global percent, 40% target is not being met. And we're not going to meet anything like the 70% target by the middle of next year, which is the other World Health Organization target. So it is really a crisis, and it will be an enormous failure of the WTO, if it can't reach a decision about this to have the waiver in the next week or so. They're having meetings today and on the 16th of December.
And I want to come in, Patricia, with a bit of a question as well, because especially since you are the co-convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, I kind of wanted to hear about, you know, some of the work that TI Net is doing in terms of lobbying our current government. Like, what are kind of the demands that we're kind of putting to the federal government? And because the federal government can clearly potentially play a role in this. And I guess what is actually probably we haven't even gotten through the first part of this, that question I really sort of asked. I guess what is actually Australia's positioning in all of this? What is Australia doing or not doing in terms in relation to vaccine inequality?
We've been campaigning on this since last year, and together with our 60 organisations, which include unions, public health organisations, environment groups, retirees, and so on, church groups. We've also made alliances with other international organisations such as Amnesty and MSF, Doctors Without Borders. And we have had meetings with individual... We had a petition which was signed by 50,000 people in Australia supporting the waiver. We did a survey which showed that Over 60% of Australians support the waiver across different political parties. We met with politicians, individual politicians, as well as the minister and shadow minister and crossbenchers. And the result of all that was that in September, the government did announce that it publicly supported the waiver. However, we wanted them to actually sponsor the waiver. There are actually 64 co-sponsors as well as 100 supporting organisations, a total of 100 supporting organisations, including the 64 sponsors. The government has said it doesn't want to actually sponsor the waiver because it's trying to play the role of a broker between those who support the waiver and the ones who oppose it, like the EU and the UK and Switzerland and so on. We've said to them that's not good enough. They should actually be actively sponsoring the waiver and doing a lot more. And we have had questions asked in Senate estimates and have put out a number of media releases and had quite a lot of media publicity about the fact that the government isn't doing enough to actually get the waiver through.
And I guess we're probably running a bit out of, time now. And I guess, do you have, any kind of final comments to make? And especially, and if there's any sort of way that, you know, our listeners can even support, can support the ongoing work that you're doing in this area.
Yes, well, we have, I should have mentioned that we've also organised rallies in against the Pfizer company in Sydney, and we had a rally in Melbourne as well outside the German embassy representing the EU. We may be organising further actions in future, but at the moment, over the Christmas period, we're urging people to go to our website and sign a petition which has been organised by the Global Nurses Union. And this petition points out that the UN Human Rights Commission has already said that the failure to support the waiver and have vaccine equity is a violation of human rights and people's right to life and health. And this petition is demanding that the UN actually make an investigation into this failure, especially the behaviour of the countries that are blocking this life-saving waiver. So they can go to our website and sign on to that petition.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Patricia. And, yeah, I think this is definitely a kind of a very kind of important issue. And I think really, yeah, in terms of, like, this whole kind of pandemic, this pandemic is going to continuously be prolonged until this whole issue of global access to vaccines is resolved. And, yeah, and I definitely commend the work that you're doing in terms of campaigning on this area. So, yeah, thank you very much, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya. All right. So we're just having a discussion with Patricia Renard, who is the convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, about all the kind of issues related to global access to vaccines and the current situation with intellectual property rights.
And she mentioned that there was a petition on their website, which just for people, we'll probably put the link up with the podcast as well, but for anybody who's got the capacity to jot it down, it is aftinet.org.au if you want to go to the website to find that petition.